Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live at 7 p.m. Monday, December 19th, Monday, right before Christmas. Christmas is less than a week away. Sunday is Christmas Day. All the truck drivers trying to get home, so please be careful out there when you're driving. Weather's getting bad. Everything's getting cold and rainy, and, of course, the big snows up north and everything, so everybody stay safe, stay driving. Watch out for them truckers. They're just trying to get their loads delivered so they can get to the house. So this is Redneck and Eyes Radio Live. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody listening along, following along, and appreciate everything going this week and all the support we've gotten. So you can check us out at redneckandeyes.com, and we've got all the links to our social media accounts on there, like YouTube and Instagram and Twitter. And we're also on Facebook Live tonight, doing something different. And reaching out to everybody, trying to get the word out to everybody, let you know this is a radio channel. You can call in, just peace of mind, whatever you got going on. And like I said, give us a call, 515-602-9731 is what we got going on here. And things talking about all things trucking and then some. So we just news, information in the trucking industry or just life on the road in general, talking about everything. We're usually on YouTube discussing stuff, and it's just a lot of fun talking to a lot of truck drivers out there. And we appreciate everybody's support doing that. So before we get going, one of the sponsors I like to thank, and that is Trucker Tools. You can check them out at truckertools.com. That is the Trucker Tools app you can download from your app store on your phone, where you can book freight, track freight, and also you can plan your route. Whatever you need to do on that is what's pretty cool with that stuff. And that is where you can, like, you know, go in there and you can check for different things like, gas stations, you know, fuel stops, maintenance, parking, Walmarts even. Checking stuff like that out, and that's the kind of stuff that we like doing out here. So check that out. Trucker Tools, truckertools.com is all their great support. We thank those guys out there. Trucking news, you know, like I said, it's Christmas time, so we're just trying to make sure everybody gets home safe for that. And we've been just talking about life on the road in general, things like that. And what we've been talking about lately is just the technology of the trucking industry, and there's been a lot of things that's been introduced with like self-driving trucks and the technology of keeping the driver in the truck but keeping the driver awake. And there's been an interesting book that's been written by a sociology professor that has talking about like data-driven, to where they take all of the technology to just keep you awake, whatever they can do to keep the driver awake. Instead, you know, it's like, well, you done got your sleep, so if you're tired, then it's not because that you're getting sleep, it's something else, so just stay awake. And you know, electronic logs, actually, they've said there's actually some indications that accidents have increased since electronic logs have done that. So different things like that. This weekend, looks like Fox Business had an article, a self-driving truck company. It's that Too Simple, and it says to lay off hundreds days before Christmas. So I'll dive into that and see what's going on with that, and we'll figure out something and what we can do to help that out. But appreciate everybody's support of Redneck and Eyes. And like I said, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio, 515-602-9731. We'll be back in a second.
Keep it perfect.
rhythm with a song on the radio. Lord, I gotta keep it rolling. Looking for a better way for me.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Monday, December 19th, it's 2022, last 2 weeks. We've got still one more week left after Christmas, but Christmas is Sunday, so all you truckers out there looking forward to getting to the house, give me a holler, 515-602-9731, everybody drive safe out there, keep it between the ditches like we always do, and we're just here, Redneck and I's Radio Live, talking about all things trucking and then some, life on the road, and just today's news and reports from the trucking industry, and I always like it when the big companies, you know, the big mainstream media, whatever it is, you know, they have their own channels and all that stuff like that. Whenever they're talking about the trucking industry is always a good, because you want to know, you know, what's going on with those people, because they're the ones that have the biggest influence. You know, they're the ones that get out there and talk it up with millions of people every day. And you always want to know, what do they actually think about what we're going through out here? A lot of times it you can kind of get a sense of reflection of what they're doing, but a lot of times it's just a little, you know, mumbo jumbo in between commercials, and it doesn't really matter much. Fox Business, it released an article, looks like on Friday afternoon, and it talked about self-driving trucks. And what happened was, what I would do is kind of get up on, like, what is the top searched for trucking news. And, you know, it kind of just goes below the radar, but it came up in the top search results today. So it was Fox Business put out a little article, and it's got a video with it, but the video is different. It's not the same, but it's from the Varnian Company on Fox Business. And the article was written for the Too Simple Trucking Company, an autonomous trucking company based out of San Diego. So it says self-driving truck company Too Simple to lay off hundreds of days. the way they read it. Self-driving truck company too simple to lay off hundreds days before Christmas. they need a comma right there, you know. And it says San Diego-based self-driving truck company Too Simple could fire half its 1,430 full-time employees, according to a report. The article goes on to say, it says global self-driving truck company Too Simple Holdings is reportedly set to lay off at least 700 employees next week, just before Christmas holiday. It says the San Diego-based tech company, which has operations in Arizona, Texas, and China, has about 1,430 full-time employees. Too Simple executives are looking to cut the staff size by roughly half as the company scales back its efforts to build and test autonomous truck driving systems. The Wall Street Journal reported Friday the layoffs would come at a tumultuous time for the company, which underwent a change of leadership in October after reports revealed that the FBI, Securities and Exchange Commission, and Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. were each investigating Too Simple's ties to the Chinese startup Hydron Incorporated. It says the job cuts are expected to be announced Tuesday. The journal reported, quit moving around these ads, I tell you what. It says the journal reported that Too Simple will significantly scale back its efforts to build self-driving systems, test self-driving trucks on public roads in Arizona and Texas. As part of the downsizing, much of Too Simple's operation in Tucson, Arizona, where it does a lot of its test driving, will be eliminated, and the team that works on the algorithms for the self-driving software will be pared back. It will be pared back significantly. And I mean, they got a picture here, and it's like there's a lot of trucks, a lot of trailers. I mean, it's a lot of money when you think about it. Just slide the video over here. You can see. I mean, that's a lot of money right there on these, you know, you got five trucks, you know, that's a half a million right there. That's more than a half a million. It's probably a million. If you think about all the software in there to make them self-driving, you know, you see the little wings up here on the top where it's got the, on the visor up here, that's where all the technology is up there, the sensors and everything. Of course, it's got stuff going down the bottom down here and all that, but look at all these trailers. I mean, that's a lot of trailers, you know, it's something else. But it's a publicly traded company. I didn't realize this, that what it is they're on the stock exchange, and they're currently, when this article was posted, the share was $1.59 a share. So these little penny stocks. To me, in my opinion, this is like, it's kind of like how Tesla is. Tesla doesn't really make that much money, but people know that it's a good company. So they continually, you know, buy the stock. And you see who's getting rich? It's Elon Musk. He's getting rich. It's his own personal piggy bank, because that's how he bought Twitter, was just selling Tesla stock. By him just moving stuff around like that, he's been able to just. I mean, it's what it is that he mainly takes the money that Tesla gets from the stock purchases and interjects that into product development, and that's why it's a good company. All these other companies are the same way. It's just the guy, he has a good idea. People buy the stock hoping that it would turn out to be profitable, but it might not ever be. And he's getting rich off of it. And being that he's probably working closely with the Chinese Communist Party or whatever, the money is all funneling back to China. And it's all, you know, and it's really just making people in China rich. You know, the people all over the world, mainly in the United States, are investing in this technology because they believe in this technology. You know, expecting it to do good things, and they're not really making that good of a progress. They're just turning out this stuff just so, if, you know, you got to show results to get people interested, you know. And I mean, I don't know if you guys were watching these any kind of documentaries or anything like that, but there's this woman up in Silicon Valley where she claimed that she had invented this little machine that could take drops of blood, it diagnosed cancer and all kinds of diseases with just a drop of blood using this machine. Well, the technology was crap. It never was going to work. It never did work. But she made billions of dollars because people were investing because she was selling it. She was selling the hell out of it. And she got in trouble. She's going to prison. You know, I don't know if the trial's over with or whatever. They make it like a docu-series out of it now, like a docudrama, where it's the true story. And, you know, it's now it's like a, you know, a portrayal of it. There was a big, I don't know where it was. It was either in, I think it was on like HBO or somewhere like that, where they, it was a documentary. And like, there were people that gave her millions of dollars and they called the FBI. They're like, hey, you know, what's going on here? You know, because she kept saying, it's going to come out, it's going to come out. And she would have these big functions to release new technology, but they were faking the results. They weren't working. It wasn't working. And maybe this is what's going on here, you know, because people are like, you know what, technology ain't working that well. It's you've had years, you know what, we're cutting back. And now the company is like, well, you know what, we're just going to have to scale back, because the people that started the company, they're not going to go broke. They're not going to invest their own money, you know, because they know where where their bread is buttered. You know, they're not going to do that. The article continues on. It says, TuSimple will shift focus on improving a software product that matches self-driving trucks with shippers that have freight to haul in order to offer freight transport at a lower cost than human-driven trucks. People familiar with the company's plan said, Fox Business Reach. Well, that's what the people with the – that's what they said, that this is going to be a lower cost than human-driven trucks. Well, I don't think that's going to happen, because that technology is expensive as all get out. And I don't know if you guys seen it out there, but there are truck drivers that are willing to haul this freight for free, apparently. So, you know, don't challenge that trucker, man. He'll undercut you. You know, that old one truck owner operator sitting down there in Phoenix, you know, everybody out there is trying to make money, and there's these guys out there somehow. I don't know what it is, but they're just undercutting everybody, you know. And I don't know who's taking that money, who's taking that freight, because Swift and Schneider and all them, they're booking that freight, and they might be taking less money, but in all get out, what they're doing is they're turning around and flipping it over to the single truck owner operators, and they're paying that low money. The owner operator just putting up with it. You know, there's too many truck drivers up there putting up with low rates. That's all I got to tell you. It says Fox Business reached out to TuSimple for comment, but did not receive a response. Employees have been preparing for layoffs. TuSimple CEO Ching Liu, who previously led the company and returned in November, emailed staff earlier this month announcing that management was reviewing our people expenses, the biggest part of our cash burn, the journal reported. Liu told the journal that he intends to right the ship and includes ensuring the company is capital efficient. TuSimple is cutting costs and scaling back its ambitions as it reels from a string of crises this year, including a crash of one of the self-driving trucks in April, the loss of a key business partnership, two CEO changes, a plummeting stock price, and a concurrent government investigations, the report said. Well, that'll do it. The company is losing money. TuSimple reported only $4.9 million in revenue and $220 million in losses for the first half of 2022, according to the report. Its partnerships with other firms, including Navistar International and McLean Company, have also fallen apart amid the controversies. I'd email those two companies right now and tell them to cut ties. McLean is aware of a recent leadership, operational, and route changes that TuSimple and its communications with their team. We are in the process of assessing the business relationship with TuSimple, and we determine the next course of action in due time, McLean's chief administration officer, Larry Parsons, told the journal. And then it's got a picture of, I don't know how you say that, last name is Who, CEO TuSimple, speaks on stage during TechCrunch dispute 2022, October 19th in San Francisco. I've seen these shirts and that display at truck shows. There you go. And that's him there. He's in San Francisco in October talking about the disruption in the tech crunch. And he was the CEO at the time. And again, he's not CEO anymore. So there you go on that. It says, in October, TuSimple fired its chief executive officer. And that's the guy you just saw, Who. After an internal board investigation found that Who had shared confidential information with Hydron, a Chinese trucking startup that operates mostly in China and is funded by Chinese investors. Following his ouster, Hugh recruited Two Simple co-founder and Hydron founder Mo Chin to strike back at the board firing them. Together, they brought back Lou to run the company, the Journal reported. The company is now working to comply with U.S. regulators. So that there is what's going on with that company. Now here, the video is about Embark. And he's on, I guess it's Varney and Company. It's Stu Varney he's interviewing. So let's see what they got to say. Here he is right here. There you go. So Stu Varney's excited about it. What do you think? When he said, I was expecting the guy to say, because when Stu Varney goes, this is a truck with no driver in it screaming past me. And so I run a company truck that's only governed at 65 miles an hour. I passed these autonomous trucks because they don't go that fast. They're all going slow. So what Stu Varney might do is he might end up rear-ending a autonomous truck because the truck's not going that fast. And they're probably not going to be in a position to pass unless it's really, really, really safe to do so, like really clear, you know, and a lot of traffic, the truck's going to slow down. It's going to keep following distance. Very, very extreme. You know, I mean, I remember passing that one truck and literally we were all like, you know, what the hell? You know, I mean, because the truck was going much slower than it needed to go. And I don't know if the truck was just starting out or what. But I hope what these autonomous trucks don't do, what all these other crazy truckers are out there doing is pulling off on the side of the highway, just pulling off. And then just when they get ready to pull back out, they just come on out. Don't even bother to look. Don't even bother to wait. You know, it's like I'm coming. I'm coming out on the road now. Get out of my way. You know, from the side of the road, no fact, from a dead stop out onto the highway, you know, regardless of coming out on an on-ramp. No, they're just coming out off the shoulder because they just stopped on the shoulder for some stupid reason for not emergency situations or whatever, which is crazy. But I don't know. Tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. And see, look at there. I've been talking. I'm on Facebook. Right? Yeah, everything's – nope, look. Oh, there it is. Yep. And I think, nope, there it is. Everything's reset now. My website just looked like it crashed there for a minute, but nope, it's back. So yeah, tell me what you think. 515-602-9731. That's the call-in number. And like I said, let us know. Let me see here. Boom, boom, boom. There we go. There you go. Cool deal. Yeah, so let us know. 515-602-9731. Go check us out at redneckandeyes.com. That's where you'll find links to all of our accounts, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. We're also on Facebook. Facebook Live. Appreciate everybody following along on there. And like I said, check us out at redneckandeyes.com. You can find links to all of our great sponsors. Another great sponsor I like to mention, and that is the Load to Ride Transportation. It's a small little trucking company. Well, it's not small, but a trucking company out of Denver, Colorado. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. I appreciate all their support of Redneck and Eyes. That's Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. So hang tight for a second, and we'll see you in a bit. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Here I am, rock you like a hurricane.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We appreciate everybody following along. Give us a holler, 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We're also on Facebook Live. Appreciate everybody following along with that. And we're just getting the word out to everybody. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. All things trucking and then some. Talking about life on the road and the news and the trucking industry and everything. This is Christmas week. So everybody get ready to get home safe. Everybody. Probably if you truck drivers are out there, you probably dropped your last load. If you've been out there, you know, a week or two or a little more, then you probably dropped your load today, this morning, and the load that you've got now is probably getting you back toward the house, and that's what everybody's doing. So if you see truckers out there, give them a holler and let them know you're thinking about them, driving safe. They're out there trying to get home for the holidays. So everybody you see out there, they're trying to get back to where they, you know, trucks going up and down the highway. Guys on the north side trying to get south, guys on the north side trying to get north, and they're just trying to get home. So watch out for them truck drivers out there. We're just trying to get to our deliveries and then get to the house. So appreciate everybody following along with that, and it's home for the holidays, as we're trying to do. So I was looking at the news, and there's a lot of articles about this too simple layoff made waves, just, you know. And, of course, you got other individual things going on in different parts of the country and all that. But in this Embark was not announced where he was talking to the guy on Fox Business, but in Heavy Duty Trucking website. This is Heavy Duty Trucking, Trucking Info, truckinginfo.com. And they're talking about. This was released today. It says Knight Swift to use Embark truck as part of truck transfer program. And there's a picture of a Knight truck, and it's self-driving equipped. It's got the visor up top up there, where it's got all the self-driving technology on the side mirror and on the visor. So this is a red Knight transportation truck. That's all self-driving equipped, and that's what they got going on right there. Looks like they're going to start doing it. Now, a lot of these big companies, I know for years, I used to work for Swift back in the day, and what they have is they have what they call the shuttle. And what they had was they had these customers. There were these just huge customers that had tons and tons of freight to move, and there was all like drop and hook stuff going from like, you know, the LA area to Dallas, or the LA area to Georgia or Phoenix, or even Phoenix to Dallas, or Dallas to Phoenix, Georgia, you know, like Atlanta to Dallas, all this stuff. And they had shuttles to where like they had a driver leave Dallas and a driver leave Atlanta, and they would meet halfway, turn around and go back. That's what they would do. There was even a point where they were using day cabs, and they had drivers living in different parts. And it was like the if you lived in Dallas and you drove a shuttle, you would drive to Odessa. That's 300 miles. So you drive out to Odessa, 300 miles, and drive back 300 miles. And there was a driver that lived, it was, I think, in Van Horn. It was the other shift point where they would be in Van Horn, Texas, out there by El Paso, and drive to Odessa, pick up another. And I mean, they didn't even drop and hook. It was just you get out of the truck, get in another truck. Truck's hooked to the, and so the truck and trailer both would go. There wouldn't be any kind of dropping. And so it was a lot of slip seating kind of thing, right? Well, then, so they did this, you know, and it was like from Phoenix to El Paso. I mean, it was just all over the up and down Interstate 20, Interstate 10, and all that stuff. So when we saw the map there earlier, it was all over like Interstate 20, Interstate 10, parts of Interstate 40, Interstate 5 going up to San Francisco and all that. That was what Embark was doing on their transfer points. And there was like, you know, El Paso, San Antonio, Houston to Atlanta, Houston to, you know, Jacksonville or whatever. And they had down to Miami up to Atlanta, Atlanta over to Dallas, that kind of thing. And so for them to do this self-driving truck deal, that makes sense because they already got the customers. They already got the freight. And a lot of times they would book the freight. This is what we were talking about before when they were booking cheap freight. And the reason they were booking the cheap freight was because they would pick it up. And then it was like, okay, we'll deliver it when we feel like delivering it. And it was kind of a thing like that. And a lot of these are like supply chain deals where we were using, I remember we booked a customer. It was new when I first started there. They had a customer, and they were making aluminum cans in East Texas, and it was that Arizona tea, and the cans needed to go to Phoenix. They were making them in East Texas, and they needed to go to Phoenix. So Swift is like, well, we'll put them on our trailers, and we'll put them on the shuttle. And they were like, that's fine. We need to have at least three trailers a day, okay? Well, they found out, you know, what Swift does is they go to the customer and they say, how many trailers can you load a day? And they say, well, we can load 5 to 10 trailers a day. You know, as long as you got the trailers here, we can load them. And they said, so what do you need to keep your assembly line running? They said, we need at least three a day to keep the line running, you know, and that kind of thing. So they're like, okay, they would go and make it priority. Go pick them up. And they would pick up 5 to 10, even 20 within the 2 or 3 days. So now they've got freight sitting on their yard and they can move it at their leisure. And that's what they did. They just kind of moved it at their leisure. And a lot of stuff, they even like took freight and just put it on the rail. And they wouldn't even tell the customer they put it on the rail. They just said, you know, it's in transition. That's what they would say. You know, I mean, I had a customer call me once, and they're not supposed to call me. They're supposed to call somebody else. And they called me, and I got a hold of the other person. What am I supposed to say? Just say that you don't know. It's in transition. Because they train people to tell them, you know, hey, it's on its way. And so when you're talking about, you know, paying top rate, the top rate is paid for getting it there. And, you know, I need that freight. Move it. So you're paying for it. But if you ain't got no special time to when it's got to be there, these companies are taking it, you know, pennies on the dollar. You know, they're taking a cheap rate, just like Swift. They'll take the cheap rate. And then what they'll do is they'll put it on the rail, and the rail costs them like, you know, 10 cents on the dollar to put it on the rail. And they're making money. And it might take 2 weeks to get from Dallas to California, but as long as the customer's happy, You know, and a lot of these customers, they're just these big conglomerates, and as long as we've got so many, and that's what Swift did. They just made sure that they had those delivered. Every now and then, you'd get you know, somebody to get a phone call. Hey, where's that trailer at? You know, it's one of the ones that we need done today. Get it done. You know, every now and then, but rarely did that happen. And it was just a well-oiled machine that Swift made happen. So it's one of those things. This says here, it says, Knight and Swift Transportation, we're the first motor carrier to integrate Embark's autonomous technology into the existing operations, operating with a driver behind the wheel. Now, this is what the whole thing, I talked about this last week and the week before. So the sociology professor was, I forgot her last name, but it's a professor. She wrote a book, data-driven, about technology and everything, and she talked about the different types of technology in the trucks and what the plan is. And so the first plan was to keep the driver in the truck and just the driver just react to emergencies. And she said that wasn't working because when the driver's just sitting there waiting for the emergency, they actually react slower to the emergency because they're sitting there staring at the, you know, they're just not doing anything. And the other thing was exactly what this other driver was, or this other guy on Fox Business was talking about, having driverless trucks going up and down the highway, stopping at a transfer point, and then a driver getting in. The problem with that is that they're going to, the Embark or whoever it is, Knight and Swift probably can do it, is they're going to have to set up the infrastructure for that. They're going to have to build a facility close to the highway somewhere where the trucks can get in and off, get on and off the highway without any kind of big issues, you know. And so that was the problem with that technology. And it looks like this is what Knight and Swift, what they're going to do is they're going to keep the driver in the truck and just react to the emergencies, which Embark says that they're getting close to just, you know, it's not that big of a, it's just a safety thing. And I don't know. I don't know how the technology is going to work. It says the autonomous truck tech developer announced it has initiated handoff of the first Embark-powered truck to the motor carrier as part of the truck transfer program. The company said that this truck transfer program marks the first public initiative where a carrier will directly own and operate a truck with the select features of Embark's automated driving software. Subset of features is designed to operate with a trained Knight Swift driver, oh crap, behind the wheel at all times. Knight Swift will be able to collect data regarding system safety and operational performance, while Embark will gain valuable insight on having its system components operating in a carrier customer's duty cycle. The first Embark power truck will begin integrating into Knight Swift daily operations to move loads for large shippers on the Los Angeles to Phoenix lane. To meet the uptime requirements of the commercial fleet, Embark has focused on hardening its Embark Universal interface and Embark driver software. This includes improvements in calibration and maintainability of the system, enabling quick troubleshooting so trucks can get back on the road. And it's got a picture of the autonomous truck pulling a night trailer. There you go. And you can tell it's got the visor and they've got all the stuff on the mirrors, and you can see all the sensors and everything. I mean, ain't no really telling if it's being used at that particular time, but that's a picture of it. First Embark power truck will begin integrating into Knight Swift daily operations to move loads for large shippers in the Los Angeles to Phoenix lane. That's what they're talking about right there. So, doesn't say when. Says Embark and Knight Swift have been jointly working on several operational initiatives to prepare for the handoff of Embark powered trucks into Knight Swift's daily operation. These include developing maintenance procedures for AV systems, developing procedures for pre- and post-trip inspections, training and certifying Knight Swift drivers, developing escalation policies for maintenance issues. Embark is also training Knight and Swift technicians on how to service and interact with the trucks. While on the road, Embark-powered trucks will be monitored and supported by Embark Guardian, a combination of cloud-based fleet management software and personnel, which together will monitor the health of the Embark system. It's got this one here. That's a big, thing on top of the truck right there. Look at that. Wow. It's a big, it's, it, the, of course, these newer trucks, they took the visor out. It, the funny thing, okay, to meet the emission standards that government has set, or the they had fuel mileage standards that the government has set for big trucks, they took the visor off to eliminate drag. So now the autonomous truck has this huge device stuck on the roof right above the windshield, and it just, I mean, you might as well just, like a sail. I mean, that sucker is huge, and I would hate for a good, I mean, obviously they've tested it and it holds up, but over time, I mean, how long do you think that's going to take before that thing cracks open and gets all, you know, all messed up? And I don't know, just that truck ain't going to last 5 years. That's what I mean. Those mirrors, the mirrors on the Volvos already fall apart at 6 months. So that's the only problem I see with a lot of this new technology, is it's not going to last. It's going to have to be replaced much sooner than necessary. And that's going to be expensive. So that's what I see on that. But let's see. This is Knight CEO Dave Jackson. I'm excited to take delivery so our drivers and customers can provide direct feedback on the technology as we use it day-to-day operations to enable new safety and efficiency in trucking. Efficiency. Profitability. Embark CEO Alex Rodriguez said handing over the first Embark powered truck to the Knight Swift team tops off a year in which Embark has made critical strides to close the gap between testing our autonomous technology and scaling it across customer fleets. The truck transfer program will be a model for the industry as we move from the R&D and pilot phase towards commercialization. And, oh, they got a little YouTube video. It says the truck transfer program announced earlier this year is a major step on the path to eventual purchase and ownership of Embark-equipped trucks by carriers, according to the company. So, yeah, there you go. Something else. Fly, tell me what you think, 515-602-9731. Check us out, renegonize.com. Let's go to the phones. What we got here?
Ed.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Now, my first question, I mean, I'm going to try to keep getting all excited today. But this slip seating that they're talking about basically doing, right? Isn't that the same thing that Yellow Freight and Roadway and Consolidated Freight, now they did that for years. They would put a driver in a truck and he'd go, you know, his, you know, however many miles out, and he'd go into a terminal or into a, just like in Pennsylvania, they'd just bring them back out of Jersey or something over to Snowshoe. They'd switch drivers there, and one of them would take their charge of the trailer here, take it back out east. This guy grab it and take off for Akron or wherever over here to the next terminal. And they relayed them across like that for years. That's why they carried their CB, their radio, music radio, and everything in a little box.
Yeah.
And it's sitting in the passenger seat. So they're not doing anything. They're trying to make it sound like this is all new technology. They're not doing anything other than what's been out there for years.
No. I was referring to, yes, Swift was doing it, and you're right. I think all those other companies are doing it too. What Swift is doing is I knew the reason why I think Swift and Knight Swift, whatever, is I think the reason why that they're actually excited about taking ownership of a self-driving truck is because they've been doing this for so long, doing the slip seating and all that. But, you know, the funny thing, you say that with all of those others, Roadway and everything, you think Roadway or Yellow or all those guys, you think they're going to go buy an autonomous truck? Hell no, they're not going to go buy autonomous trucks because we know who owns that company.
Right.
And I think that's the reason why Swift is doing it instead of these other companies that have, like you're saying, the perfect people to do autonomous would be the LTL, you know, because they do is go from point to point. You know, they don't do any customer stuff. And and they're not doing it. I don't know, maybe because they're not big enough, but Swift, they do it with all of their other stuff. Like I said, they'll have freight sitting in Dallas all going to Arizona, and they'll put it on that shuttle like where they slip seat. And they've been, like you said, they've been doing it for years. But you're right. I think their idea came from Yellow and Roadway and all those guys. You're right. Yep. But we know.
The problem's still going to be with the autonomous trucks is the adverse weather. How are they going to deal with that when you get up in the mountain passes and stuff? Autonomous trucks are not going to work up in there.
Well, that's what I'm saying is that, the map that they showed was just I-10, I-20. And it's like, what are you guys doing? I mean, I know that there can be bad weather on those roads.
Yeah,
but
not like it is up northwest.
Right. Well, and the other thing too is that every time you see a video or a photograph of an autonomous truck going down the highway, it's always with the sun sitting in the background, clear skies, and open traffic. Show me them driving in a potential tornado. Heavy rain, getting down the road, that kind of thing. Yeah, I agree with you.
I want to see them go up to Houston or Dallas at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, exactly. We say traffic moving slow, that's fine. Okay, but now you got to change lanes. What are you going to do? You got to change lanes, and it's got to, and nobody's going to let you in. Oh, crap,
nope.
What are you going to do? And then somebody just cuts in front of you. Like you're driving in the right lane, everything's nice and smooth, and you're going real good, and you got a pretty good following distance in front of you. And somebody's over there in the left lane, and they just got to take that exit. What are you going to do?
And who's going to be responsible for the accident? The driver in that truck or the company?
Exactly. To me, if I was a driver, I wouldn't want to get into a truck autonomous. Unless I was told that, anything that happens while you're letting the computer do it, if I don't have my hands up.
No, you ain't telling me nothing. You're going to give it to me in writing. I'm going to have something. I'm going to have a paper trail on that.
That's true. Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah, I agree. I think, to me, I would like to see that stuff. How when you do that, those kind of things where they go into a class and a little seminar and they try to train these drivers and that they're telling them, that we're giving you this equipment. And if anything happens, you're responsible, that stuff. Like, if I'm a driver, I'm like, ain't going to happen. The funny thing, I'll tell you this funny little deal about the company I work for. We just switched over to tablets. And what it is that instead of a Qualcomm in the truck that's fixed in the truck, there's an actual, like a little display case, like a phone holder. That's what it looks like, a giant. It's one of those RAM mounts that's on the dash, and the tablet just pops out, and you can actually what they're trying to do is they're going paperless to where they take that tablet inside to the customer, and that's where all the paperwork is. So you now it's all computer. So you take that tablet and you put it back in the truck, and then you do all your logbooks and all that, and then you can take it out of the truck and do all that. Well, on mine, I noticed the screen was cracked. So I'm like, the screen's got cracked here. It's not, I thought these were supposed to be, and it's got a case on it. It's not like it's just a free handling tablet. It's actually got a case, and the case goes into the mount. So I asked my supervisor. I said, why, what do I do? This thing cracked here. What am I? And they said you need to call it in to found damage, accident report. You got to fill out a report. And I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't do this. so now there's more stuff to break that can break, and the driver's going to be held responsible if it breaks.
Yeah, and you're constantly taking it in and out of the truck, plug, unplug, plug, unplug, plug, unplug. Crazy.
Yep. And there's a lot more steps involved with it, and a lot of drivers don't follow the steps, to do the signing in, signing out, and all that stuff, and verify this, verify that, and, reply to this and all that, and the drivers forget to do that. So, when you come into the truck after everybody else has used it, you come in there like, I can't use it now. I got to turn it off and have somebody in corporate reset it. So, because somebody else didn't do anything. So yeah, that kind of stuff. Yep. That's what it is. Yep. Technology,
was on that last company I was with. I was on that. Now, granted, I was still on paper logs, but it worked the same way. You know, I could move my stuff around where, you know, they can only move some of their stuff around. But, it was the same way. I mean, the logs, everything was done, done electronic on that tablet. And then at the end of the day, when I finished up the end of the day or the beginning of the next day, when I signed the log or showed that I signed or whatever, it was an e-signed log. All I had to do was hit send, and it went right into the company. So they always had it. The only thing I liked about it was you couldn't. It was hard to screw up, because anywhere that you got the violation, with me would do a paper log, it would tell you, look, you're in violation here. You need to fix this. You fix it, and then the line would go back, you know, black again or blue, whatever, and you was good. But they're hard getting used to.
Yep. Well, speaking of, I think we might have some direct knowledge of the activity with these self-driving trucks coming out of Arizona. I don't know if this driver is actually in Arizona or not.
Got to be able to work before you can worry about a self-driving truck.
Yeah. I caught a little bit. I stopped at this little convenience store to get.
Oh, we lost. Did we lose him?
And then between L.A. and Phoenix. There ain't nothing there. The only traffic you're going to have, or any type of weather, is down in L.A., Palm Springs. Yeah, Palm Springs, it gets windy there, but other than that, it's a salt desert.
Yeah, I mean,
how are you that and all the money and tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars that all these engineers for the new Freightliners and Kenworth and Peterbilt and Volvo put all their time and money into making these trucks more aerodynamic. Now they're going to put something out in front of it, and what's the point of having an aerodynamic truck?
Oh, I put a picture on it. We're on Facebook Live right now, and I'm looking on there, and there's a picture of it. Man, that sucker is huge. It's sticking out over the windshield on the top over there, and it's not taking up the whole front of the truck, but it's in the middle. And it's a big piece of, I don't know if it's metal or plat, but and that's what I was saying is like, not only is it like impeding on the aerodynamics, but how long is it going to take for that sun and that wind to just tear that thing up?
No, it's just a matter of time. Now it's something else, you know, with those autonomous trucks, it's just something else to break. Computer.
Computer.
We don't have enough computers on it. You know, we got our, you know, I'm still on a version of the Qualcomm. You're Ed, you're on a tablet. Greg, you're on a tablet at the last company, but there's another computer that got added to the truck. Plus, not on top of what's in my truck. I got quite a few computers in my truck, and mine's a newer truck, but he's just adding something else to break. It's going to break.
That's it.
Give it time.
Yep, that's it.
And doing on your R&D for 6 months, a year, that ain't nothing. That's not even a touch of the R&D that you need to do.
Well,
put
you
it
know
up
what,
in North Dakota.
Well, that's what we were just talking about. Just wait, you know, every time you see it, they're always at good weather and everything. You know, I mean, I've been through like those wind. I bet you when the high winds come across Interstate 10 over there, I bet you they just shut everything down. I bet you they just park it. They don't even try, you know, because I mean,
there's a section in between Phoenix and Tucson. They got a couple sensors for dust storm. And that's it gets pretty bad through there in between Tucson and Phoenix for dust storms. But that only happens August, part of September.
Yeah, I remember.
It's only a couple.
I was driving
They could do that because Pennsylvania's been doing that for the last, I don't know how many years now. Every time they just predict the snow, it don't even have to snow. All they have to do is forecast that it's going to snow, and Pennsylvania puts restrictions on
every highway. They're shutting down all the highways. Actually,
yeah, and then they want to complain about
they can't get the freight out across there, and they can't get trucks and whatever. But, yeah, all they have to do is predict the snow, and they shut the roads down. They just did it the other day.
Because they don't want any more of these pileups. Like, I haven't seen any videos or any kind of reports of any kind of big pileups like has been recorded in the past.
Well, it's not the weather that's creating the pileup. It's lack of training. We've been there how many times?
Oh, yeah. I know it. Yeah,
years ago,
yeah,
back in the 80s, 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, early 90s, we run back and forth across there. We didn't have any trouble. I mean, yeah, you had your occasional wreck once in a while. You're always going to have a crash. You're never going to get 100% accident-free. But there is no reason to shut the whole state down and put all these restrictions and all these variants on these roads just because the drivers don't know how to drive because they've never been properly trained.
Well, that never everybody thinks that they have to run 100 miles an hour going everywhere.
Proper
they don't
training,
what,
Robbie,
slow
that's
down
where
in.
It comes to.
No, it's not just driving an 18-wheeler. It's all these cars, all these four-wheelers. They think that they have to do 100 mile an hour, 110 mile an hour going anywhere.
You know, Robbie, in their defense, I've got to disagree with you on that because I see a lot of the cars slowing down more out there on in adverse weather than I do the trucks.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I
of
mean,
course.
Seriously.
You know, when
a car,
when
you get so much snow
bad.
And slush on the road, the only problem I got with the cars is they slow down, but they won't get in the right lane, which it doesn't make any difference, but they want to turn their four ways on and drive 25 mile an hour. That's fine. Do it in the right lane or get on the shoulder. But the trucks want to turn their four ways on and drive 70 mile an hour or else they're driving 20 or they're not moving. You know, it's you can't blame one without the other because
yep.
one of
oh,
them
no,
is just
I,
as
I'm,
bad as the other
I'm
anymore.
Not, I'm not blaming, you know, it's not just
right.
the four-wheelers or it's not just the trucks. It's both. You know, everyone thinks that they have to run 100 mile an hour going anywhere. But you're at the big box companies that have governors on them. Well, they're going to run up against that governor all the time, which that's a bad thing to do. Because now, okay, you get in something when it's snowing or ice and you need to, you know, get a little bit more oomph behind it. You have to hit the go pedal and there is no more go. You're up against the governor and you're done.
Well, it's like we were just talking about it here not too long ago. I don't know, but the majority of the trucks anymore, these new trucks, I don't even think it's got a head valve in there for the trailer brakes anymore.
Mine don't.
Don't have them. No, a lot of the big companies had them taken out. They don't want them in the truck. For one, because the guys
yep.
don't know how to use them. You know, how to use them, and they grab them and they pull them, and it locks the trailer up, and away they go.
I got a buddy. Yeah, he runs for Swift. He went back after quite a few years, but he's on a dedicated account with Walmart, and he's home every weekend or 2 days a week. So, but. In his, he has I think it's a 2020 or 21 Freightliner Cascadia. It does not have a handbrake. It doesn't have
nope.
an air dump for the rear suspension. And I think there, fifth wheel plate slide.
Yeah,
so Swift,
fifth wheel slide.
Is
they take
ordering
it
the trucks. Don't even
yeah.
add it. Don't.
Yeah.
I bet you any amount of money that like for the fifth wheel slide and. And the air dump, other than the airline's not there, the electrical's there underneath the dash because they're going to make the one wiring harness for, you know, if it was an owner-operator or a fleet.
Yeah, well, a lot of those trucks, they would have it would be in the truck. They would just wouldn't have the switch, or it wouldn't
there
be like.
There was one for it that just ain't hooked up.
Exactly, and there's probably a hose in there too, but it just ain't hooked
right.
up. What do you call like as all the owner operator trucks had transmissions that were capable of being, you know, a 12 or 13 speed, but they wouldn't have that extra splitter in there because they didn't want it. You know, they knew the driver would, you know, they just didn't. So you could,
no, just, when,
you could go and add it.
When I first got leased my truck, it was a 9-speed.
Yep.
And it's a 9-speed convertible. You know, I can make it a 13, which I end up doing, put the splitter in it, ran some airlines down to it. It was a kit that the Swift had.
Yep. That's right.
I was able to make it, and I love my 13. I'll never go back.
Yeah, no, that's a selling point to, if you're going to sell the truck after you've done used it and you're ready to sell it, converting it to a 13, you're going to sell it to a private owner more better than you would if it was just a 9, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. They always had those, just like the air dump or any kind of lockers. Somebody told me years ago when Swift first started buying their lease purchase trucks, they actually had the individual axle lockers, but they didn't have the switches for them. But then you can convert them over to make it to where they actually had the axle lockers, because they were buying them the West Coast conversions, which those West Coast trucks, not only did they have the inner axle differential lock, but they also had the axle lock, you know, to engage the axles fully, you know.
Right.
That's what they're doing, is that they're not putting that stuff in there because, like you're saying, they're not training the drivers on them. I mean, even the inner axle differential lock, you go to the truck driving school and the guy says, don't flip the switch until you get stuck. It's like, what? It's like, you find
no,
out.
No, it's the other way around. You got to flip it before you get
before
stuck.
Before you get stuck, that's right.
The problem is they're flipping it. They're already stuck and they get to spinning and then they flip it while the truck's still spinning. That's what tears them up.
Yep. Yep.
That will disintegrate a power divider right now.
Yep, that's right. Well, and that's the only thing it says. It says do not engage during spin out, but yet nobody seems to read it, you know.
You know,
they think that means during a donut.
Yeah.
You know, if you're out there spinning donuts, don't flip the power divider, you know. The tires are spinning, you're all right. Don't do it while you're doing a donut out there in the parking lot or on the highway.
No.
So I'll tell you.
Most of these schools are just training the student student coming in to get the CDL just to pass it. That's it. Just another warm body in the truck.
Well,
that's
it's just
after
like the
anymore.
Dump valves, Robbie, on the dump valves on the trailers, on the back axle, these spread axles. You know, a lot of these flatbed companies now that's got these, a lot of the flatbeds come equipped with them, but the companies don't have them hooked up for the simple fact the drivers don't know how to use them.
Hmm. Correct.
And if they dump the air off that back axle or whatever, and they forget to put the air back to it when they're done with their turn or their whatever they're doing, and they go down the road, if they're lucky enough to make it to a scale and get caught, like I said, if they're lucky enough to get caught for over-axle before they burn the axle out and lose wheels, they're lucky.
Yeah.
Because that's what they was doing. They was forgetting to put air back to the axle. And if they was heavy, loaded heavy, now they puts all that weight on that front axle. And next thing you know, you're overheating the bearings and you burn the bearings out and start blowing tires. Or they'll go down the road heavy like that. They'll flip it off, forget about it. The next scale they get to, they pull up on a scale, and now they got an overweight bind because they're over axle. They're over on the axle because they forgot to put air to it. When they go in there and tell that DOT man or that cop, that scale master, well, the dump valve was empty. I forgot to put air back to it. He said, that's all right. You can put air to it now, but you can take his ticket right along with it.
Yeah.
You don't care. You came across my scale overweight.
Right. Because that's why the companies won't let them have dump valves now. And her dad was a good one for it. He did it not too long ago. That's how he screwed up them wheels, Robbie. Remember that wheel laying up there on the hill? He hit the switch at some point where he bumped it, where he flipped it, whatever happened. He didn't put air back to it. He wasn't that heavy. But, hey, he paid the price. He ruined two wheels and two tires because of it.
So, you know, it's like you got to pay attention. You got to know. You got to be trained with what you're doing. You know, and it's like, you know, like he's Conestoga, you know, these trailers are mine. You got to know what you're doing before you back in the door, because if you crunch it up against the door, you tear crap up, man.
Yeah, you know from experience, don't you?
That's right. I did it the other day. I won't get my trailer back now until after the first of the year now because of it.
Hmm.
Because they, you know, they was watching, spotting me backing in the door, and I had 6 inches on each side. Didn't have a whole lot to play with anyhow. Pouring the rain down. My fault. I own it. I own this whole bag of crap because I should have got out and looked them on. I didn't. I took their word for it right up until I heard the crunch. I stopped, got out. The damage is done then. So I'm looking at probably pretty close to $2,000 before I get my trailer back now. So happy? No, I'm not happy. Mad? No, I'm not really mad over it. You know, I mean, it's the point where you can't even get mad over it because it's just, what do we say?
Yeah, what's it? Getting mad over what's the result, you know? Yeah.
It is what it is. It's
in the past. Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's just the cost of doing business. You know, you screw up, you pay the price, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you do stupid things happen, and you can't, you know, you can't always blame somebody else for your stupidity. At some point in the game, you have to accept responsibility for your own actions, and that's what I'm doing right now.
There you
go. It's going to cost me, but it's, what is it? A hard lesson learned.
Hmm.
So anybody that says that, you know, I know, you don't have to tell me, I know, okay, you know what? What have we said all along? You learn something new every day, you know, and every day is different out here with these trucks. You learn something new every day, something different. Don't matter. No 2 days are the same out here in a truck on the road. I don't care where you go, what you do. Nothing is ever the same 2 days in a row.
No.
Traffic's different. Something's going to happen different every day. It's not, you know, it's not a storybook world we live in. So, oh, well. Well, listen, gentlemen, I'm going to get off here because I know he's got to go to work.
Been a decent show today.
Pardon me?
Who's that?
I don't know. We've had a good show, a decent conversation today, and
all right,
we'll see how it goes tomorrow.
There you go. All right.
We'll talk to you later, Ed.
Be careful.
Have a safe trip. A good holiday when it gets here.
Right now.
Bye. All right. Later.
See you guys later. All right. Good deal. Yep.
We'll talk to you later, Ed.
All right now. Good deal. So, yeah, this has been Redneck and I's Radio. We're here, like I said, live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can give us a holler at 515-602-9731. That's where we're at. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We have great sponsors, DPF Regeneration, Trucker Tools, Load to Ride Transportation, and all the great supporters of Redneck and I's. We appreciate all their support and hope to have some good old time 2023. You never know. So check it out. It's Redneck and I's Radio every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 515-602-9731. And you guys stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
They need in Chicago. Through the middle of the night unknown, on a ride that won't let me go. I'm in Apple, cowboy, born to run underneath the stars. They don't mind to my lonely heart. I just ride. In your arms again. I'll be out here on the wing.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.